ladies, and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago. And it's late, there is no live studio audience, and it has been a minute. It has been a little while since Passover break, since we have had a Monday Motivation, but we are ready to get motivated on this absolutely incredible week ahead of us and in an absolutely crazy world. And the title of this podcast is, What in the World is Going On? Really, what in the world is going on? Today is Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Remembrance Day, and there are people still alive from the Holocaust, and they're telling their stories. And we have museums all over the world telling about the Holocaust, and it doesn't seem to matter. It does not seem to matter. And the virulent strain of anti-Semitism that is sweeping the world is incredibly noteworthy. It is beyond noteworthy. It is something I've never seen in my lifetime, and I think many people have not seen in their lifetimes. And we are going to talk about that. But before that, I want to do an incredible, incredible story. Okay, because we all need to start with a positive, positive message for this Monday. Now, this story was a clip, as they say in Hebrew, a clip. Okay, that was sent to me by Or Gera, wonderful Talmid of mine, amazing, wonderful person here, married with a beautiful family here in West Rogers Park. And if you need a mortgage, okay, he's there. Okay, so he sent me this unbelievable clip. I wrote out the story and I set it over at my Shabbos table because I was absolutely blown away by it. So we are going to get to all the, not all, but at least some of what's going on the college campuses. But we have to start out, and I think this is the best way to frame this, recognizing that Hashem runs the world. And we don't always see exactly how Hashem runs the world. But sometimes Hashem pulls back the curtain for us to see a little bit. And this story is very inspiring. It's not meant to cast aspersions on those who were not saved in the tragedy. Let's just take it for what it is. This is not a grand answer to the tragedy and evil and pain and agony that so many Jewish families are going through now. But it is a bright light. It is an incredible bright light with a very powerful message for all of us. And ultimately, I think the right and correct approach to the response to all of the anti-Semitism that is happening. Okay, so without any further delay, the video has a Sephardic man, I would say, I don't know, late 20s. His name is Yair, and he's wrapping his tefillin. Now, Sephardim, God bless them, are more traditional than Ashkenazim. That's just bottom line. There's a lot of reasons for that. Ashkenazi Jewry in the 1830s already had started a poisonous brainwashing that Judaism was not true. It was just made up by the rabbis. God doesn't exist, God forbid. And all sorts of just awful, terrible poison, intellectual poison for 190 years. The Sephardic world, by and large, was spared that poison. And in fact, are very faithful to tradition. And it was only, ironically, the mass secularization of Sephardic and Edut Mizrach Jewry, that's Far East Jewry, Iran, Iraq, etc., was only with the state of Israel, which is just the irony of ironies, and gives a little bit of the background about the fight to join the army, not to join the army, etc. It's a very loaded issue, but that's just a little bit of background. So this Sephardic young man, Yair, was wrapping his tefillin. Now, Yair does not seem to be, certainly not an ultra-religious Jew at all, but it seems to be a traditional Jew. I don't know if he's Shomer Shabbat. Maybe he is Shomer Shabbat. And he tells the following story as he's wrapping his tefillin after Shacharit. So 5:30 a.m., he arrived at the Nova concert site 1 hour exactly before the attack started. Now, and he gives the background. He said 5 years since he left Tzahal, since he left, he graduated from the Israeli army. So let's say 18 to 21. So at 26, let's say. Okay, he's been involved in bread distribution. I don't know if he works for a bakery or grocery stores or whatever it is. But basically, he has been making runs, delivering massive amounts of bread. Okay, and he said that he would never, ever throw away any extra bread. And he met an incredible person. I don't know how they met. He doesn't say how. A person named Yeshayahu. Isaiah in English, but Yeshayahu in Hebrew. And he lived in Bnei Brak. And what they would have a deal is that Yeshayahu would call Yair around 1 o'clock every day to see what the shipment was, how much extra he's going to have, or I don't know if it was that day or day old bread or whatever the case is. There would be massive amounts of bread that was not used and would be thrown away. So Yeshayahu would then he would go meet Yair. He would take the bread and he would distribute it to yeshivas and shuls, which obviously was a huge economic savings, and it didn't let bread go to waste, right? It's an incredible chesed, a kindness. Chesed is kindness. And so he did that basically every weekday for 5 years. They have this arrangement. 2 weeks before the Nova Festival, 2 weeks before the Nova Festival, Yeshayahu calls Yair for the first time ever at 5 a.m. And Yair says, why are you calling me? It's 5 a.m. It's early. I didn't even start my day yet. Like, in other words, I don't know how much bread I'm going to have left and what's going on, like per usual. And Yeshayahu says, chalamti alecha, which means I dreamt about you. And Yair was intrigued. He says, well, what did you dream? And Yeshayahu said, I dreamt that terrorists were chasing after you, but what saved you was the bread that you've been giving. Now, I don't know, he didn't elaborate what Yeshayahu's dream was, how he saw that the bread was, but it was clear to Yeshayahu that there were terrorists in close proximity shooting at him, but he was saved because of the bread, of the kindness he did with the bread. 2 weeks later, he was in the Nova Festival, and he describes the Nisim, the absolute, total, and complete miracles that happened to him. He said three separate times he was face-to-face, eye-to-eye, with terrorists shooting, and miraculously he survived. He was literally the only one in his entire group of people that survived. Everyone else was killed. There was one other woman who was taken captive, Mia Shem, French, Israeli. You might have seen her of some notoriety. She was released and has become a very powerful spokeswoman for the hostages, etc. He said he could show us videos from his phone that the absolute miracles that he survived. And this was 2 weeks before Yeshayahu called him and said that he had a dream. And he said that all of this is because of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, of Hashem, who saved him in honor, in merit of the kindness that we do. And I can't think of a better way to start in the contrast between who we are and who they are. It's not time to mince words anymore, people. We have open anti-Semitism in the streets. Now, I went today, I was very proud, several of my young professionals of Project 613 had a big hand in organizing a very peaceful, unbelievable, amazing pro-Israel rally at DePaul University. Now, DePaul University is technically, okay, Vincentian and whatever. A lot of these schools have been watered down in terms of their values and become very woke. Many years ago, I think the Pope wanted to excommunicate DePaul because they basically have given up on a lot of their religious values and their... Sorry to, if anyone from DePaul hears this, but it's true. And have just basically adopted the woke values of the day, certainly in terms of traditional family values and et cetera. So there is an encampment at DePaul. And I went down today, and the Jewish pro-Israel rally, any, I should say non-Jewish, there were non-Jews there as well, was so positive, was so peaceful, was calling really just for positivity and showing who we are, and that we're not backing down. And you walk just literally a few steps away, maybe a few hundred yards, meters away, and you find a camp with the most vile language and behavior and absolute negativity, with the goal to destroy, to tear down, not to build anything constructive, to tear down the institutions that America has run on since its founding, and certainly to tear down Israel and to tear down the people of the book, to tear down not only Israel, but America as well, and to tear down and to fight and to vilify the Jewish people. And I couldn't but help thinking of the absolute contrast between good and evil, between people who protest without masks on, who are just rallying, supporting their cause peacefully, davening, praying for peace. And yet on the other hand, everyone has masks on. And I don't think it's because of COVID. It's because they don't want to show their faces. They don't want to take responsibility, the ultimate victim mentality, that I'm going to wreak havoc but not take the consequences of my behavior, and therefore somehow I will stay anonymous. Okay. And so at this point, we need to delve down, what in the world is going on? How can a rational world end up with massive protests against the Jews, literally defending themselves from a genocidal organization, terror organization? And yet the entire world has doubled down on supporting Hamas. It's beyond belief. And yet, if anyone has delved just a little bit into Jewish history, we will see that is not beyond belief. And I think if there's one line of thinking that has been so powerful, and I keep hearing it from my young professionals, but Rabbi, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Israel is killing, is just responding in self-defense. We gave back the land in 2005 so that we would not be called a colonial oppressor. You know that, by the way, everyone. In 2005, Israel extricated 10,000 plus of its own citizens from Gaza to give Gaza a chance to develop itself. And it spent billions of aid, of dollars of aid, in destroying their people and creating a terror infrastructure greater than the London subway underground, okay, in terms of the tunnels. You know, we gave them hydroponic industry that all they needed to do was not ruin it. Within a year, it was all ruined because they're not interested in building. They're interested in destroying. So how could this happen? How could the world be so blind to side with them when we're just defending ourselves? And I think that this is an incredibly important point, because it doesn't matter which generation we're talking, there will be a different reason that the anti-Semites will hang their hat on. But it comes down to one core issue. And this, the non-Jews, No. And the anti-Semites, no. Much better than many Jews do, quite sadly. We are the chosen people. We, the Jewish people, represent God and godliness in this world. That's who we are. And so it doesn't matter if we're a communist or a capitalist. It doesn't matter if we're a colonialist or not, if we have white privilege or not, if we're a landlord over the Ukrainian peasants that were slaughtered by Khmelnytsky, if we were Jews that were thrown to the Gulag archipelago of the Soviets, if we were Jews thrown into the concentration camps and to the crematoria by the Nazis. And we can go throughout every single generation. The non-Jews know us better than we do. We represent godliness in this world. And so when my students and people say, Rabbi, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense only when we don't understand the larger cosmic battle that we are in. We are in a cosmic, spiritual, moral battle between good and evil. And the evil that is surrounding us will stop at nothing to lie, to cheat, to murder, to destroy us physically, emotionally, spiritually. They will stop at nothing to destroy and to stop the Jewish people's mission of being the Am Segula, the treasured nation of Hashem, that we represent morality in this world. As we've said many times in this podcast, we are the hall monitors of history, which means we are the moral standard bearers. We don't need to go on a megaphone on the street corner saying, hey, you know, join us, become a Jew. You know, if you don't join us, you know, become Jewish and convert, we're going to, you know, jihad to you. Or we're going to forcibly convert you, as in the Catholic Church. Both the Catholic Church and Islam have had very compelling reasons for conversion. Save your life or convert. And so we need to know, the Jewish people need to know who we are. The purpose of the anti-Semitism is not to get us depressed. The purpose of the anti-Semitism is to wake us up from a spiritual perspective. It is to wake us up to become that light to the nations. And it's no wonder that there's so many Jews, and I'm potentially planning next week's podcast to delve more into this part of the equation. How many Jews are involved supporting the wrong team? How could that be? How could we have devolved so much as a nation that we could have our best and brightest of the next generation leading the encampments like the ones that were leading Colombia, sadly, USC and others? Jews who are leading the charge against Israel. And so therefore, I believe that the ultimate answer and the ultimate response is exactly how we started with that story about Yair and Yeshayahu, is that we are the nation of God. We have a higher moral standard, and we have to be better and kinder and more giving and double down on that mission. Because when we do double down on that mission and become knowledgeable Jews and more knowledgeable and more dedicated and more observant and more giving, that is the fulfillment of who we are as a nation. And that is directly responding to those people who want to take that role away from us, that we double down and say, sorry, this is who we are, and we are not backing down. It's good versus evil, and we are not backing down. So let us be inspired this week to double down, to rededicate, to refocus What can we, each one of us, do to be a brighter light, to plug in, to know, to find out? Learning Torah has to be part of this equation of finding out who are we as a nation? What light should we be illuminating to the world? What values? That's in the Torah. That's our playbook. Just like there cannot be a successful sports team without a strategy, the Torah is our spiritual strategy. That's our playbook. And God willing, we will delve into that and we will double down on our mission to be kinder, better, and more moral than the enemies on the other side of campus and the other side of the office. God bless. May you have an amazing week. And don't be coward and don't get depressed, because we got this, people. We need to step up and be the Jews that we can be. God bless. We'll see you next week. Back again for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.